Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I loved God. I loved him till the days of his life left. But he was a benediction to me in many, many ways. I heard Brother Guy Fields at Kirkland's camp meeting. Brother W.I. Evans came and analyzed the 107th Psalm in a morning worship service. I'll never forget it. Eddie Anderson was one of the quartet that was singing there with Brother Evans at that time. 107th Psalm, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then he picks up another category and goes through another tremendous thing. And in verse 15, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then he takes another category of men and concludes with verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. Then he gets the sailors, those that go down to the sea and ships, that sees the great work of the Lord. And in verse 31, he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful work to the children of men. And God is still saying that this afternoon. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful work to the children of men. For Psalm 22, I think where Jesus went to hell and was tortured, it talks about God living in the praises of his people. Psalm chapter 22 and verse, thou that livest. Please. Oh, yeah. Verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest. Now, God has a moving tabernacle that he lives in. Where the praise is going up, God moves his tabernacle and lives over where that praise is coming up. Yeah. And sitting in the chair in Brother Rogers' office a while ago, the Lord said to me that the Lord goes emotionally hungry to hear your voice the day you do not praise him. He goes emotionally hungry the day you do not praise him. For praise is coming to the upright. Hebrews 13:15, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, Brother Superintendent, ask the mercy of the Lord on us. I'm not going to preach long this evening. About half an hour, I'm going to conclude it.
Our Father,
we come
for this privilege and opportunity of hearing again from the Word of God. We ask that you open our hearts now, open our minds to behold the wonderful truth of your Word in heaven. Anoint our brothers.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. You may be seated, friends. It takes culture to know niceness. It takes education to know philosophy. It takes a lot of things to be a lot of things and do a lot of things. All it takes to be a praiser is to have breath. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, for the purpose for which God created humankind, is stated in the 27th chapter of the Proverbs, and in verse 11, I think it is, for he says, as the firing pot is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, to his praise. God created humankind for one purpose. To put back
that hundred billion plus.
I'm going to throw this thing away and turn on my own volume here in a minute. Glory to God. Thank you, my brother. See, I got a building loudspeaker. I learned to preach on a hill. Glory to God, the valley is full of people. Hallelujah. That's before the days of loudspeakers. I used to have a tent just like, you know, I kidded the superintendent. I said, what in the world is Texas doing with a Tennessee tent? This tent's made in Tennessee. First tent I ever had was made by the San Antonio Tent and Awning Company in San Antonio, Texas. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know when that was? 1926. I was ordained in 1927. That's before some folks discovered America. But I've been preaching long and some of you have been breathing. What are you saying, Brother Bethany? God, in order to replace the rebellious choir that was 10,000 times 10,000, it doesn't take the new math to figure that as 100 million plus. Thousands of thousands, what do? Around the clock, they sing. And in the New Testament, these redeemed, they say, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue. Hallelujah. When that choir of voluntary praisers is totally replaced, glory, 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 that'll be the purpose for which God created humankind. That's why he said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And at least some things, there's a little old sweet mockingbird that gets outside of my window. And before I get up at 5 o'clock to pray, he's already singing some notes of praise to the Lord. And saying, preacher, get up. Glory to God. What are you saying, Brother Bethany? The purpose for which God gave you breath. Come on now. He may not have given you a voice like Caruso, but he gave you some breath with which to praise him. And the sweetest thing one of them I've ever seen was in one of those great Potomac Park camp meetings where a little businesswoman, quite marvelous businesswoman, very successful in fact, but she was a mute. And they brought her to the service. And she got down at the altar and began to tell Jesus in her little sign language how wonderful he was. Hallelujah. And she told him, and her little hands got higher and higher and higher. Then she burst forth to speaking in tongues as beautifully as she could not make one sound. Now, some mutes can make a sound. She could not make one atom of sound. But when the Holy Ghost came on her and loosed her little tongue, he spoke in tongues and worshiped God, and her little face shined like an angel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thought she had healed. No, but when the glory went off of her, she was a little mute again, but she spoke in tongues as beautifully as anybody I've ever heard in all of my life. Hallelujah. What are you saying? As a fining pot is for silver, and that's the old way, of purifying gold and silver, and the furnace is for gold, so is a man to his praise. The purpose for which God let you breathe that first time, that when the doctor spanked you when you were born. Come on. Or maybe you was born like I was. Glory to God. In a log house where there were no hospitals, and a midwife brought you into the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Besides how sophisticated we've got, but we're all born just alive, you know it? Some get a gold spoon in their mouth, some a wooden one, but we were all born alive. And he gave us everyone breath for one purpose. One purpose. That was that our hearts might praise him. That humankind, out of their gratitude, You say, I ain't got nothing to praise the Lord for. My father, you're stupid. You've got breath. Your heart's beating. You're not in the cemetery. So you've got a lot to praise the Lord for. Because he gives us life. Glory. St. Paul preaching there on Mars Hill, and that's the Supreme Court building of Athens. Have you been there? How many have been to Athens? You have. I have. Praise the Lord. That Supreme Court building in Athens, where St. Paul spoke to the most sophisticated, educated, cultured, because we still study Socrates and Plato. Who were they? They were philosophers of Athens, honey. When America was a wild jungle of buffaloes and Indians, and had Socrates and Plato, and Athens was the center of culture and of sculpture, and they knew a lot of things that we don't know now. Sure they did. They knew how to overlay wood with gold and bond it. We don't know how. And St. Paul stood in Mars Hill, glory to God, and he did both right and wrong. He turned on Paul. Only time he ever did. Come on. And he didn't build a church, and it broke his heart, and he went to Corinth and said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, him crucified. For he turned on Paul. Only time he ever did it was preaching to the Athenians, those Supreme Court judges. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But he gave them the simplest message. He said, God that made the world. That's the beginning at the beginning. And then he said, God that gives you breath. See, he giveth you all life and breath and all things. What does he give you that breath for? Where you're a Supreme Court judge in Athens, or the man frying peanuts in Georgia, or having an oil well in Texas, glory to God. He gives you breath with which to praise him. And I want you to take this home with you. The day he does not hear your voice in praise, his heart goes humble that day. I never thought of such a thing, never dreamed of it. Sitting in Brother Rogers' chair a while ago, the Lord said, tell the people that today I do not hear their voice in praise, that my heart goes hungry that day. What do you praise him for? For who he is. Go into his presence when you don't need a thing in God's world. And praise him for who he is. For the kind of a Lord he is. For the immutability of his word and the unimpeachability of his character. Because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Because he loves righteousness and hates iniquity. But he loves the person that's full of iniquity. And pinned his son to Calvary's cross. Yes. Not for the good and the right. Do you know what I love Jesus for? If everybody in this world had been good but me, Jesus would have walked Calvary's hill and let him nail him to that cross for me alone. That's how personal Calvary is to me. That's how personal Calvary is to me. For I was that one lost sheep. I didn't want the church. I wanted the devil. I wanted the gambling board. I didn't want a Bible. I wanted to see what the other side was like, and I did. And only God in mercy spared me till I was 16. He saw the hunger in my heart, led me to the cross. My dad drove me away from home, let me come back, sent me to college on condition I stay away from Pentecostal church and people. And 10 years later, God broke my father's heart into 10 million pieces. He rolled off the bed.
Glory to God. Don't fight people to get them to go to church. Pray for them where they are. Say, God, meet them where they are. Glory to God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. My father rolled off the bed, prayed till daylight, gave his soul to God. My wife and I were pastoring a little church, new little church at Thomasville, Alabama. I drove my T model. That's how long it was. I drove my T model home to Mobile. Drove up in front of the home that I'd helped my dad and mother to buy when I was an accountant. My dad was in the backyard. He threw up both of his hands and said, "Praise God and the Lamb forever. There comes my preacher boy." And he wanted to kill the preacher in whose meeting I was saved, burn the church house down. But now, God's met him. God saved him. God filled him with the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because God's God. If you learn to praise the Lord, hallelujah. The purpose for which God constituted Israel as a nation is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. And Jeremiah poses it in cowboy country language. You Texas, New Mexico folks, and Wyoming and Colorado ought to like this a lot. And let's turn and read it. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 11. The purpose for which he constituted Israel as a nation. Somebody help me find it. Jeremiah 13, 11. For he talks about, and let me read it and not try to quote it. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused as a girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might become, notice that's God's divine desire. They did not do it, but that's what he created them for. That they might become unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory. But they would not hear. The purpose for which God constituted Israel as a nation and chose Abraham was that they might be to him a praise. Finally, he drew a plan for a temple and gave it to David. And David gave it to Solomon, and Solomon built that temple. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, at the dedication of that magnificent temple that cost $84 billion, David's first building fund offering was $5,000 million. You say, Brother, doesn't it? God sure does like expensive churches. He sure does. My father, I thought he liked the bush arbor. He does, when that's all you can afford. For he settled Israel in their land, gave them corn and wine and gold and silver. You all know what David did with all the gold out of all the idol temples that he ever conquered. And he conquered I don't know how many nations. And I think this is where the gold at Jericho, you know why they marched around Jericho? That was the treasure city of that whole end of the world. There were thousands and millions and billions of dollars worth of gold and silver and diamonds and jewels in Jericho. And that's why God let the wall fall down, let his own people go in and take it. Glory to God. Of course, one fella, Achan, he got in trouble, you know. And David took the gold out of every temple that he ever conquered the heathen nation. He took the gold and stored it and set guards by it till he had $5,000 million in gold. You don't believe that? Took it 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 11. And now we're at 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 14. And I'm going to get off of money in a minute. But there's money on every page in this Bible. 18. Over half the sermons Jesus preached was on money.
Glory to God. Pounds, what's that? That's money. Talents, what's that? That's money. Pearls of great price, what's that? That's money. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. You know why I get to talking about money. Folks go to sleep on me. I go to talking to them about money, and I wake them right up. Ain't that mean? I didn't start the preaching yesterday. Folks go to sleep on me, I go to talking about their pocketbook. Gets hot and wakes them up right away. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 22:14, David said, "Behold, I am my trouble," and he had plenty. "I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold." As of 5/9/1966, Dr. Stanley Horton in our Sunday School Quarterly confirmed what I'd known for many years, that a talent of gold, before gold was inflated, was worth $32,914 at the Denver Mint in the United States of America. He gave 100,000 talents of gold. That was $3,291,400,000 in gold alone. Then he lined his old generals up and said, "Come on, kick off." Hallelujah. And they gave many times that much. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, what are you saying, Brother Bethany? When they dedicated, that meant because Israel was never a total nation till they were a nation spiritually. Come on. And when they were confirmed from heaven as a spiritual entity and a spiritual unity in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, hallelujah, verse 13. And I want you to turn it, read it with me. "It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were of one," for that's the purpose for which God created the nation. Listen. "And when they fulfilled that purpose, when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound," and I could give you the order of the choir and the number of the trumpeters and so on, "to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord." Listen. "And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good." I knew that before Brother Roberts ever said it, and I like for all to say it. Glory to God. "He is good. His mercy endure forever." Then, when? Then, when the purpose for which God created the nation come to be fulfilled. And they were praising him and praising him as one. Perfect 440 harmony, honey. No discord. Then it was that he moved in, and the priest couldn't see the trumpeters, and the trumpeters couldn't see the choir, because the Shekinah, Boshanda Relieshiliah, of Almighty God, not until that hour had the purpose for which he chose Abraham been fulfilled. Not till that moment had the divine purpose of calling him out of Egypt. And all of that. When it was. When Israel became to him a praise, he moved in. Hallelujah. Solomon walked out, made a covenant with God. "God, if we stand in earth, captives in a foreign land, and if we open our door or window toward this place, will you hear? I'll hear." 523 years later, in Babylonian captivity, Daniel understood that God kept his promise. Solomon failed. The gold was digged off the temple and taken to Babylon. My God, my God.
My God, my God. But Daniel in Babylon opened his window. This was now a pile of trash and ashes, where the temple had been ransacked and burned. But Daniel opened his window toward that pile of ashes and said, God, you told Solomon 500 years ago that you'd hear me if I pray and open my window in that direction. Glory to God, and I'm going to do it. Oh, glory to God. I don't care what Nebuchadnezzar. I don't care who said no. You're the God that keeps his word. And he opened his window. And he heard. God heard. God let him out. The purpose of the New Testament church is identical. The purpose of Pentecost is identical. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 24. Glory to God. Luke 24. When Jesus went away, just before he went away, rather, he called them together and said, look now, I want you to go up to Jerusalem. Verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father. That's the promise I recorded in Isaiah 11 and 2 and many other places where he would pour out his Spirit on Israel. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Every Jew understood that. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, you be endued with power from on high. What were they to do? They went to Jerusalem. Verse 52, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When the purpose for the New Testament church was accomplished, and they praised him and praised him and praised him, then all heaven opened. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost was poured down. Woo, for the purpose. Come on. The purpose. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me, saith the Lord, that him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. The purpose for which he gives you breath every day, the purpose for which he baptized you in the Holy Ghost, is so you can praise him in your own language and pray in other tongues and pull people out of the fire. Like I taught the people this morning, praying in another tongue, pulling men out of the fire for the purpose of God and humankind. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Why is praise so tremendously important? Praise generates faith. Praise generates faith. You praise the Lord for who he is, and then praise him for what he said he'd do. Were you here this morning? No. I told him about Paul Loewenberg, our superintendent in Kansas. His dad was a sheriff. He bored a hole in the page of his Bible for 3 years. Around Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. When Mrs. Loewenberg, forgetting the baptism, had tossed him out. And his boys made all manner of fun of him when he tried to pray at the house. So he prayed out by the barn, bored a hole in the cave that said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy household. Every day for 3 years, he danced down on his knees and worshiped God, held his finger on that and said, God, I want you to read it with me. See, glory, 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 glory. And he praised God and danced down on his knees. 3 years passed. He lived in the room on the end of the porch. He said, I'll wind your shirt for you and cook your biscuits. And that's exalted. The finally, the day came when all heaven moved in. Mrs. Loewenberg was in the altar. Those five big old cowpuncher boys were in the altar. 11 o'clock service was at 11 o'clock that night. Mrs. Loewenberg is saved and filled with the glory. All those boys were saved, and two or three of them called to preach the gospel because a father wasn't made out of tin foil and clay. Because he believed. If you, and that word believe is continue to believe more and more. Tomorrow I'm going to teach, if I can, God will help me and I live, on have faith in God, one of the great commandments.
have faith in God. What are you saying? Praise generates faith. The reason some folks have no faith, they've not learned the elementary principle of praising the Lord for who He is, then for what He says. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They've never allowed the vision of faith to take hold. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we look not at the things that are seen. We've got two sets of eyes, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But some of us got three sets. I wear a trifle. Bless the Lord. While we look not at the things that are seen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. But we look at the things that are not seen. What are you talking about? We see the promise of God. Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy household. Mother Mitchell, do you believe God meant what He said? I do. Okay. We're never going to ask God to save him again. You're going to get in your closet of prayer while I get down in my church office. We're going to, number one, see Forrest Mitchell saved. Going to view him saved. Not with a pack of cigarettes in his mouth and a carton in his pocket. No. Saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The first he left the altar, I said, let's just make the devil a big liar, and by faith, let's see him with his hands up speaking in tongues. Glory to God. It was less than 3 months later, he called me one day and said, Brother Bethany, Ford wants you and Sister Bethany to come pray for him. He had another stroke. He was stone blind. Sister Bethany and I walked in, fell down around his bed and began to pray. God did a miracle and gave him back his sight. He had a stroke that affected his eyes. He's stone blind, couldn't tell day from night. And when he began to scream and say, oh, I see the light. Jesus has healed me. He said, oh God, I've been such a miserable sinner. I trampled your love on the feet. Glory, 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 glory. 3 months of faith overcome 44 years of crying and unbelief. And he was saved. Almost that same week, her son, who was a machinist in Phoenix City, Alabama. How many of you have been to Phoenix City? I'm not going to tell you to go to the show and see the Phoenix City story. Boy, boy. That was a city that had 187 different gambling dives and dens and prostitution houses in a city of 20-some-odd thousand. You didn't give me the money, they'd bump you on the head and throw you in the cutter with the river. Yeah. Her son worked for that city in the machine shop. He was 44 years old. When Fort got saved, the boy called his mother. He said, Mother, Jesus is in my shop. Said, Mother, he told me I ought to give my life to him and said, I just knelt down by my workbench and said, Mama, I'm saved. When? When you go to exercising faith in what God said, and lifting up your little lightning rods, come on, and praising Him for what He said. Let's lift our hands. Come on.
Glory to God, that the faith of God, the strongest power in the world, maybe didn't believe in all the heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The faith. And praise God for the answer. And oh, how many choir members here? Now, I'm not going to trick you. I never trick people. Never to play tricks on them. How many choir members here? Sing in the choir? Come on. Yes, I'm not. Your arm's not broke. Thank you. I'll read to you the greatest choir story that's ever been written. Let's stand to our feet. Second Chronicles. And thank you, choir members, for raising your hand. I don't trick people. Never. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 has the most fantastic story about a choir that's ever been written. Chapter 20, turn and read it if you'd like to. Verse 1, it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab, you know who they were? They were children of Lot, by one of those pitiful girls. And the children of Ammon, and you know who they were? They were the generation of the other daughter of Lot. And then with them joined a group of Esau's kindred. They cut their prisoners' tongues out, slice at a time, and cut off their fingers, joint at a time. And this bunch of devils invaded Judah, and Jehoshaphat is terror-stricken. No, verse 3, he went to seek the Lord. Number 4, he called all Israel together to ask help of the Lord. What did they tell God? In verse 6, they said, O Lord God of our fathers, thou art our God in heaven. Oh, that's one thing. But now you're God down here. Verse 7. Oh, glory, glory. Art thou not our God? Aren't you God here and now and up? Glory to God. In verse 12, last of the verse, he said, our eyes are upon thee. But, oh, you listen, Jehoshaphat, at your city gate is the cruelest, most devilish army ever put together. And they've come to burn your tongue out. Our eyes are upon thee. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost came on a man. He got up and gave a prophecy in verse 15. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Verse 17, you'll not have to fight in this battle, but you set yourselves and stand still. You said, I thought you were going to tell a story about the choir. Go down to verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe. That is your secret. Believe and then praise. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye established. Believe his prophets, so shall your prosper. Then he talked to the choir director. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should do what? That should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Oh, my father. The choir in front of the infantry and the cavalry. Oh, glory, glory, glory. How'd you like to be a member of that choir? I will. For listen, without a pocket knife, without a sword, without a club, but with a song sheet. Somebody wrote, into the jaws of hell, wrote the 300. Into the jaws of hell, march this choir. Holding their song sheet up and singing with their hands up. They march into the face of this demon coalition. And what happened? Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against Moab and Ammon and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir. They wouldn't have to destroy another. So when the Judah came together, came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were all dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Took them 3 days to gather the jewels. They stacked up enough of gold and jewelry. What for? Because somebody was willing to lift up their hands and fulfill the purpose for which God made humankind. for which he created Israel as a nation, and for the purpose for which he has made the New Testament church. The power of praise. Praise glorifies God, praise generates faith. The Lord one time said to me, "Son, you can't lift your hand and praise me for what I promised you and doubt me all at the same time." The faith generated by praise will chase the doubt out of your heart. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. What do you want from God? Quit asking him. Is it in the book? Did he promise it to you in the book? Okay, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Come on. Glory, we shout, Lord. We shout, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, we shout, Lord. We shout, Lord. We shout, Lord. In my victory of the resurrection. That's in the morning. This morning, the keys of the kingdom. Let's bow down our hearts. Brother Superintendent, will you ask God to touch us in this 45 minutes and make it a time of eternal profit? Brother Rogers. This morning, on possibly the most controversial subject in all of church history. And my text is St. Matthew chapter 16, as you would suppose, and verse 19. "And I, said the Master, will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He said this to Simon Peter, and down about two breaths from them, when Simon, now let me show you the irony. In about two or three more verses down, Peter began to rebuke Jesus for saying he was going to the cross, and while he had just given him the keys of the kingdom, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Huh? 1 minute he's having a divine revelation that Jesus is the Christ, and saying, "God, Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." And in about 10 minutes, he's babbling off in Peter's philosophy and in human trivia. Come on, come on. And Jesus said, "Look, you, the devil's talking through you now." It's a sight in the world when we get up and testify and shout in the aisle on Sunday morning. Look out there. And chew somebody out on Monday morning. You know what? The Holy Ghost said a terrible thing to me this morning. He said people that like to chew people out when they don't do to please them love to eat human flesh, hear bones crack while blood runs out of the corners of their mouth. The Holy Ghost said that to me this morning in a little comment on Galatians 5, where St. Paul warned Pentecostals against cannibalism when he said, "If you bite and devour," and that's Galatians 5:15, "if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Somebody said, "I got a sharp tongue." So has the devil. I've been in this thing 54 years. I've seen people and preachers choose and wounded, and left by the highway to grovel in their own blood and die because of some unchristian uncharitable critic that tore them apart. If you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed or destroyed one of another. I want to talk to you this morning, notwithstanding the controversy that has raged for centuries over the totally false interpretation of this promise. We have been far too slow in the Pentecostal fellowship in discovering and proclaiming the magnificence and the marvel of this glorious, glorious truth. For in every born-again believer's hand, there is the key to heaven to somebody. Listen. And if your church is not growing, and if your family are not all saved and in the kingdom, it's because the key is dangling by your side or around a chain on around your neck instead of active by the Holy Ghost in saving your family and your home and your generation. I'll show you before this service is over that the key to your children's salvation is in your hands. And ladies, you got an unsaved husband, the key to his salvation is in your hand, and the book says it is. What are you saying, Brother Bethany? It was not a change of pace, nor a change of plan or program when God said to Peter, I give you the keys. And Peter had three keys. I'll show you them in detail in a minute. God has always and will continue to the end to give the keys of his kingdom to certain individuals and to have authority to open heaven and on rare occasions to open hell. I've seen the hour, and it frightens me that God put into mortal hands the authority to call a man's card and see him die on the spot without a minute's notice. You say, preacher, you don't have that. You don't know what it means to be an anointed, dedicated servant of the living God, to give up a fortune. I was offered $1 million to not enter the ministry. But Jesus had said, go perish my word or be lost, and I'm preaching to keep from burning. And there's no discharge in this war. I'm 5 years past retirement. And if I don't preach, my children will burn. And I don't want my kids to burn. If I don't do right, and I go to hell after I preach to others, and I know I might. If I don't be true to God, I will. But I don't want my kids to burn. That's why the other day when God said, give $1,000 in the church treasury, I went to the bank and borrowed it and gave it. I don't want my kids to burn. And I thank God for last night's missionary offering, but it wasn't one half of what God wanted. How people put their money everywhere but in the kingdom of God. I can never understand it. And even call themselves a Christian. You're mislabeled, pal, that's all. If all you've got is not to the kingdom and the glory of the Lord, you don't know what Christianity is, either. You say you're a mean little old preacher from Georgia. I won't come listen to you. Thank you. I knew it before you told me. Glory to God. If I can't change you, I can't help you. For status quo is pure dry rock. Hallelujah. The keys of the kingdom. Jesus said this, but in the Old Testament, in Exodus 32, Moses held back the wrath of God over the whole nation, as he did, he and Joshua, twice again. Three times, they held the wrath of God back and kept God from blotting all of Israel out of his book. But in Numbers chapter 16, verse 27 to 31, when this group of junior deacons pleaded, oh yeah, 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 oh glory, 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 named Korah and Dathan the Abiram rose up, and they were preacher's kids. Look out there, you preacher's kids, you get a lot of wind in your sails. Come on. Those preacher's kids in Acts 19, they were going to have a healing service and cast the devil out of somebody. You remember that? You remember that? You know what I liked about that? Was the testimony the devil gave of St. Paul. Not what your friends say about you, huh? Everybody likes somebody. Al Capone had a good friend. You know how he got to be head of the mafia? He took a baseball bat and bursted two men's skulls in, sitting at one table while his henchmen held guns on them. And he bursted and bled their brains out on a table. And that's how he got to be head of the mafia. And I used to be in the edge of gangland. I know a little about it. But Jesus saved me. He said years later when I was an accountant, he said, go carry my word or be lost. And I had to go from a bank building to a little church on a hill that couldn't afford me an automobile, and I rode a bareback mule and did my first pastoral visitation. You say from an accountant's office and a desk of your own, the offer of $1 million, to a little church on a hill that couldn't pay me $10 a week. My little darling wife did not have a mirror to comb her hair by for a year. And when our baby died, I didn't have $12 to buy a casket. What are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about you. When you resist your pastor, you don't have 100 parts of an idea what that man has sacrificed to become a Holy Ghost preacher. And when you don't follow him, you say you're worthy of being followed. If you hold up his hands good enough, he'll become strong in the Lord and the power of his might and take your city for God. Moses held the wrath of God off of the nation. But when that group rose up against him, he prayed a prayer of faith and opened the door of hell. Oh, bless the Lord. And them and their wives and their kids, you show me somebody that split a church. I'll show you somebody that's in trouble when they meet God in the judgment. I've lived the same 54 years for nothing. And I haven't studied a lot of things, but I've studied people and watched people and deacons. And And long-term women. Don't get mad with me. That ain't you, but I hit somebody.
The reason, and I hear preachers waving their arms like a windmill and ranting about what the hippies are doing and what the devil's doing and this and that. There's not but one thing wrong in this world. That's a lack of faith and a lack of power and lack of anointing in the body of Jesus Christ. That's all the problem the world has, for you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If the world's getting darker, it's not the world's fault. It's the church's fault. If society's rotting, it's not society's fault. It's the church's fault. And when once we come to equate this matter right and begin to pray and salt our community with love and faith, come on, come on, glory to God, our altar will soon be lined with sinners seeking God. Hallelujah. For if we have enough of light, go to Matthew 5. I've already begun to wonder. Jesus said if you got light enough, you can give light to everybody in your household. Well, glory, you say, I didn't know he said that. Well, let's go read. Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. But let me read it right here. You are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. You are a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And what does it do? What does it do? It giveth light. All you have to do is chase darkness away is to turn on enough of light. Glory be to God. Listen. A man that's a specialist in lighting told us the other day that on like these Texas plains, where the air is thin and little dampness in it, that you can light one match and it can be seen for 7 miles. One match on a dark, dark night will cast a ray of light 7 miles. All you have to do to chase the darkness away is not rant and rare, glory to God, and wave your arms like a windmill and preach against sin. No, no, no. Turn on the light. Ooh, glory, 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 glory. When I was principal at Lakeland, God said, son, you're to go to North Highland Church in Columbus and pray that church through. That was the old battleground of Georgia. He named the preacher, and he served there, including Brother Savelle and a lot of other great, great men. There were 6 liquor stores within 3 blocks of that church and a gambling house within a half a block of it. My God, 7 out of the 10 preachers that had preceded me there had had moral or financial trouble. My wife and children cried. And I said, God, I sure don't want to go. But you didn't ask me to go. You said you're to go. When God gave revival, 5 of those liquor stores, all their customers got saved and got the baptism. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God, the chief gambler at the gambling house. Yeah, the old boy. And boy, he knew all the tricks, blackjack or whitejack. He knew all the tricks. And he got saved and got the baptism and became one of my ushers. Glory to God. What did you do, Brother Bethany? Wave your arms like a windmill? I taught the church how to begin to shine, to quit whining and fighting and devouring, and begin to love Jesus and love the law. Hallelujah. And let their lives shine. And today, 10% of the people in that group are assemblies of God. When the glory, 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 let me stop and shout. When Holy Ghost people ever discover what God's done for them, look out, devil. Look out, devil. You're cruising for a bruise. You got it coming. Glory to God. When God's Holy Ghost people
ever discover that they have the key of the community. Somebody said, oh, but Jesus said, fear not, little flock. I preached that for years. I had a little flock and they were all afraid. When I began to preach Pentecost, I saw God break and shake a city. Hallelujah. Jesus said that to 12 men, hear me, to get them to Pentecost and baptize them in the Holy Ghost. Glory, glory, glory. And the church had 2,500 people in it before it was 5 years old. Ooh, glory to God. That's not a very little flock, is it? What are you saying, Brother Bethany? And when the devil tried to split it, Acts 6, come on. Come on, Acts 6, the devil split the church over a roast lamb sandwich. Come on, the lady didn't get enough of mustard on hers, and she grumbled, and her neighbor grumbled, and then the other said he put some goat meat in mine, and then he said, no, they didn't kill the pig, they put a little pig meat in mine. And before the thing was over, the church was split wide open. My father, a word of wisdom by the Holy Ghost was given to Peter. And he said, look here, you appoint some men to do this while we fast and pray. And God put the church back together through a word of wisdom. Listen, through a word of wisdom by the Holy Ghost. And I wish we preach Acts 6-7 as much as we do Acts 2-4. For what does it say? Ooh, glory, glory, glory. The church was put back together. Why didn't John take Haven and Peter the rest and form two fighting groups, one at one end of town and one at the other? They had too much sense and knew Jesus. Don't you get mad with me. You do, you ain't got a drop of religion. Come on. Oh, bless the Lord. What happened in Acts 6-7? What after 55 years in Pentecost is beginning to happen to us now? The Holy Ghost fell in that college of priests out there. Let's read it. Oh, glory to God. Somebody got a Bible there? Help me. Acts 6-7. Bless the Lord. The Holy Ghost fell out in the college of priests. Why was the persecution turned on? When they heard their own priests with their collars on backwards but their heart on right. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Talking in tongues. Woo, that old hierarchy said that's more than we're going to take. We're going to sit solitary. When did it happen? When the church quit fighting. And the love of God began to pervade. My God. My God. 12, no 11, one of them, they were 10% of Jesus' apostles. They were. And that's the great tragedy of the ages, son. Not what happened to him. He hung himself. But he bettered their hungry kids. Read the 109th Psalm. How they lived out of the garbage can. What we brought on our children. When we fussed and spewed and scooted and fumbled and let the world go to hell. While we fussed over hair and skirts. I used to preach on hair a lot. Till I lost my own, I thought about it. No, the ladies began to shingle it off and didn't have enough left to take a test. I preached on skirts till they got so short that the children, the little baby couldn't reach it, and then I had to help. Twice in all his ministry, St. Paul named hair and skirt. Twice in his whole lifetime, in 14 epistles. And the devil got us off the track years ago when we started making outward appearance. And I believe in modesty, sure. Anybody's got any sense, guys? We've got the key of the kingdom, honey. We can turn our generation to God if we will. We have it. We have it.